winter's day, with my friend the teleprompter. I stand alone, gazing out among you, watching you watch me. It's creepy, but it's too late. You chose me. I am Barack. I'm the Messiah. I'll talk of love and brotherhood with the mosque. I'll send Hillary to negotiate. What they need is friendship, and friendship causes pain. Israel and Hamas, they're both the same. I am Barack. I'm the Messiah.
Yeah, speaking of the Messiah, yeah, you know, the Kenyan that in the White House that everybody in the world seemed to know is a Kenyan, except the people in America. At least that's my opinion.
The two-time voters?
Yeah, the guy even admits he's a Kenyan in his Harvard Law Review bio. And who writes a bio in the Harvard Law Review and says he's from Kenya and then changes his mind 20 years later and says that was a mistake? So I don't know. Anyway.
That's just par for the course with that.
Serious concerns and no journalism anywhere. But today we have a very special guest on and who's been directly involved in challenging Barack Obama and his eligibility to be president. And she's been going after this for quite some time. Are you there, Orly?
Yes, I'm there. I'm actually at the airport, but I can hear you well.
Very good, good.
Thank you for coming on.
How you doing, Orly? We heard you had a small accident the last week or two.
It wasn't that small. My car was totaled, but I'm fine.
Good. So you didn't get hurt or anything then?
Okay. Hello?
You didn't get hurt or nothing, just the car totaled.
Well, I mean, I did get hurt, but it wasn't that bad. So
okay.
I'm going through some treatments, but I'm okay.
Good.
Considering the magnitude of the accident.
Good, good. Well, listen, I know we don't have you on here very long because I know you're sitting at the airport. So can you give us an update on what's going on?
Going on in court cases?
Absolutely. Well, there are five cases that are going on. One that is the most promising is in Maryland, where the judge has already issued a couple of positive rulings. And this is a case dealing with Obama's use of a stolen Social Security number. It's a Connecticut Social Security number, and I can actually give it on the air because it's not his. It belongs to somebody who was born in 1890. 042-684-425. And actually, Obama made it public himself. He posted it online with his tax returns in 2010. And originally, he didn't flatten the PDF file, so the number became available to everybody. And it was checked through either FI and SSNDS. And he failed both. Both governmental agencies that actually checked for illegal aliens came with the conclusion that the number that our sitting president is using was never assigned to him. Originally, the Social Security Administration, what I tried to do is, first I tried to go under Obama and try to get this application for the Social Security number stating that Obama used it and it was not assigned to him. And I went through a D.C. court, and the judge declined to allow me to get this information, claiming privacy. So what I did, I tried to find sort of ingenious ways to get to the truth. And I found under the name, I was able to find the person to whom it was assigned under his name, and he was born in 1819. And was it, I don't know if it was a stroke of luck or somebody at Social Security Administration is helping me, but they came up with a new law stating that if the person was born 120 years ago or earlier, you don't need a consent or proof of death of this person. You can still get the papers. So I submitted I submitted this application And originally, the Department of Justice, on behalf of Social Security Administration, claimed that this man has never applied for Social Security number. They don't have it. They don't have such records. And they asked the judge to dismiss my lawsuit, at which time I provided the judge with a copy of the letter from the same attorney from Social Security Administration, where I where in this letter she admitted that she has records of this gentleman, but she would not release them due to considerations of privacy. And with this letter, I also attached a copy of the new law, of the new rule that states that people who are 120 years old or older, they cannot claim consideration of privacy as an excuse. And I also provided a copy of the census papers from 1940, where this man has written that he was born in 1890.
And they don't reissue those, do they? I mean, they don't reissue Social Security numbers.
No, no, absolutely not. And people, you know, Obama's operatives have written to multiple websites saying, well, maybe it was reused, we're running out of numbers. Think about it. A Social Security number is a 9-digit number. So we have to reach nearly a billion people, billion minus one, in order to run out of numbers. And we have only 330,000 people, 330 million people in this country. So clearly we did not run out of numbers. They do not reissue them. So that was just a bogus statement. Never. The Social Security numbers are never reissued to other people.
Well, this administration seems to be very good at covering things up. I mean, we got Benghazi. We got the IRS. I mean, you know, everybody keeps dancing around the fact that how could Obama, there's no proof of the White House, but there is a lot of proof here that there's a problem with him being eligible to be the president, no matter how you slice the pie.
I mean, it's not just that he's not eligible to be the president. He's eligible for a life sentence.
You know, he's prison eligible, is what you're saying.
He's eligible to be moved expeditiously from the White House to the big house. The problem is corruption, corruption in the judiciary. But so far, this judge was fine. She actually ruled in my favor previously. She denied the motion by the Department of Justice to dismiss my lawsuit. And she basically gave them HELO, saying, you guys didn't look well and you did not follow the guidelines. You didn't show me. How did you do the searches and came up with a conclusion that this man never applied for the Social Security number and you don't have it? And basically she told them, you know what, go and keep looking and come back. That was pretty much the decision. And by the way, you can find all the papers. I post it on my website. It's orlytom, orlytom, or tatesreport.com, and you can find all of the rulings and pleadings from the case.
You know, so, it seems to me, yeah. Orly, that the tactic has been up to this point is, you know, anything that this administration doesn't want the public to know, the Main Street media blacks it out, or they use the Alinsky tactic of demonizing or, making fun of their opponents. I mean, you're a birther, you're this, you're that. But they never seem to examine any of the evidence in any kind of a journalistic integrity.
I know they can't do it because if they examine the evidence, they would see that we have a criminal sitting in the White House. So that's the only thing they can resort to is making jokes. And actually, just yesterday or 2 days ago, yeah. Obama appeared at a rally where he said, "Well, you know, I know where is my birth certificate, and other people don't, and my birth certificate is on the website." Well, what's on the website is a piece of garbage,
right.
Which a fifth grader can tell. I mean, it's a joke. Letters of different sizes, different fonts, multiple layers. So there is another case, actually, a case in Washington, D.C. And that's in regards to Obama's fabricated selective service registration. The man doesn't have one single valid piece of paper. Just, I mean, if it wouldn't be so dangerous for this nation, it would have been a joke. We would have had a great sitcom called Obama's.
You're so right, Orly. I mean, I've been studying this for quite some time, and I was amazed at the depth of the evidence against this guy. And, you know, let's just say for a moment, let's just assume that, okay, he's born in Hawaii. Well, it doesn't even matter because, you know, if he was born in Hawaii, he went to Indonesia and went to school, well documented. And in order to go to school in Indonesia, you actually have to become a citizen. So then he came back, which would mean that he would be, at the very least, a dual citizen. And he's still not eligible. But we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to have to go to a break. They're going to cut us off, and we'll pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces.
You're listening to We the People with special only guest host, your Sovereign Minds host, Mark Kent, and his sister Linda Kent. Stay tuned for Hour 2 on KCNR Shasta Reading.
Well, I guess we're pretending we're We the People, at least a little
bit.
We
are. The We the People at the moment.
Yeah, we want to, I don't know if Bill and Aaron are listening, but we've...
Oh, I'm sure they are.
...pretty much taken over.
And you think you're coming back next week.
Yeah, no. Oh. Yeah. They'll be back, and they're going to give us the jazz next week. Anyway, let's get back to Orly here, because I was over the break Googling... You know, Kenya, you know, looking at the booklet bio of Barack Obama, you know, on his Harvard Law Review, Barack Obama, and I'm reading it right out of this, and he's the one that wrote his own bio here. And, you know, later on, 20 years later, they say it's a mistake. Well, how can you make a mistake on your own bio? You know, so my question is, were you lying then or you're lying now? And I'm reading it right out. Barack Obama, the first African-American president of the Harvard Law Review, was born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia and Hawaii. How can that be any kind of a mistake?
Absolutely. And I have submitted it to a number of judges, and this is still yet to be determined. You know, none of the cases was heard on the merits. There is a case in Mississippi which I filed 2 years ago before the primary election. I'm still waiting for the decision of the judge, and hopefully it's going to come shortly. I'm waiting for the decision to have discovery. By the way, what's interesting is that in that case, one of the defendants was Loretta Fadi, who was the director of health in Hawaii, who allegedly certified the forgery as a genuine copy of a genuine 1961 birth certificate. And as you know, conveniently, she died in an airplane accident in December. What's interesting that she was on the plane together with her deputy director, and both of them were involved in certification of the forgery. And shortly after the takeoff, the plane went down, and the pilot was able to land the plane on the water. And actually, everybody got out of the plane. Everything was fine. There were statements by passengers that Loretta Fadi was fine. She was in good health, waiting to be rescued. There was a plane that happened to be flying above and saw the accident. And they continued circling the area just to tell the survivors that help is coming. They were very close to the coast. One of the survivors actually swam to the coast himself because it was so close. And shortly after this accident, it was announced that she died. And both the pilot and one of the passengers made statements that they're bewildered. How could she die when they saw her wearing a life vest and being in good health waiting for rescue? It's interesting that one of the papers, local papers in Hawaii, a reporter by name Jennifer Tinker Keleher, wrote an article stating that the autopsy came out, and it showed that she died from arrhythmia, irregular heartbeat. And right away, the brother of Loretta Fardy stated, you know, she didn't suffer from any heartbeat, any irregular heartbeat. She did not have any heart conditions. She was an average swimmer. And the article stated that she was very anxious. She was afraid of this anxiety caused her irregular heartbeat. And she was a rudimentary swimmer. So I demanded to see a copy of this autopsy. Actually, one of my supporters wrote to this AP reporter, and she said, oh, well, just contact the Maui Police Department, at which time I wrote to her stating, I did contact Maui Police Department, and they stated they would not release a copy of the autopsy report unless there is a written consent of the next of kin. Please advise me which relative gave you the consent. And at that point, this reporter just disappeared. Nobody heard from her again. And there is a high probability that she never got anything. She never got an autopsy report. We don't know if this report states, if it exists, if it states what she says, if it was ever signed by the examiner. Because prior to that, I personally talked to the medical examiner, Dr. Harley, and she was telling me that she's waiting for the toxicology report. She would not be issuing a report without the toxicology. And then suddenly there is a claim of a report, and this report was never shown to the public. Nobody knows what exactly it states, whether it was signed, and even whether it exists. Yet, all the media just reprinted an article by this Jennifer Kelleher claiming that Loretta Fardy died of arrhythmia. So in my case, I asked the judge to change the case, basically stating that instead of Loretta Fardy, her estate is one of the defendants. And the attorney for the state of Hawaii asked the judge to just replace Loretta Fardy with a new director by name Linda Rosen. And I filed some other pleadings. Basically, they cannot do it because Linda Rosen is not the one who was complicit in this crime. She was not the one who was complicit in this racketeering act. She was not the one who certified this flagrant forgery. So I cannot sue her, but I can sue the estate of this Loretta Fardy. So we're waiting to see what the judge will decide in this case.
Wow. Well, that's all. I hadn't heard all of that stuff, you know, and I'll tell you what, I mean, you wouldn't, this, you know, some, you know, people would think this is just so far-fetched, and how could they cover all this stuff up, and to the extent that they've covered it up, but when you look at Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, I mean, and there's scandal after scandal after scandal, where there seems to be a stonewalling or a cover-up of evidence, and no prosecutions. I mean, look at Lois Lerner, all of this stuff. It doesn't seem, how could it be a stretch that these guys wouldn't, if this is true, would these guys cover this up? I mean, I don't know how people can even think that these guys wouldn't do it, because there's been nothing but lies that have come out of this administration from day one. I mean, that are provable.
They would have to cover up everything from
right.
that point on.
Yeah, so.
Well, here's another interesting tidbit of information. I have requested a copy of Obama's application to the Illinois bar, and on this application I found out that he lied. I mean, he committed fraud, because those applications are submitted under penalty of perjury, and there was the first question, what's your name? She put Barack Obama. Second question, did you use any other names? And he stated none. That was fraud in itself, for which he should have been denied his bar license, because he was hiding his identity under last names of Soya Toro and Soya Barka. We have his school registration from elementary school in Indonesia, where his last name is clearly stated Soya Toro, Barry Soya Toro. And we have his mother's passport record, where his last name is stated as Soya Barka. So this is a major fraud. Here's an applicant to become an attorney is hiding two of his identities under two different last names. And the first response that I got from the Illinois bar was that because he no longer practices law, his license is inactive, they're not going to do anything. So I responded to the Illinois bar stating, well, his license is inactive, but it can be activated at any time, and they have a duty to prosecute this. And they responded again that he resigned from the bar completely, so he'll never be able to practice law, and therefore they will not do anything. So you can see yet another cover-up.
I think, Orly, I think that everybody's afraid of this because, if it's true that the president is ineligible from whatever standpoint, constitutionally, natural-born citizen, fraud, whatever it is, I mean, it does cause a constitutional crisis that nobody wants to touch, because if this is true, everything this guy's ever signed into law is null and void, and that would just completely undermine this administration to the point of a collapse, at which it's collapsing as it is already based on the lies of all the other areas. So
absolutely, and think about it. What can be worse than Obama? Can anything be worse than somebody nearly doubling the U.S. national debt in 5 years? I mean, he incurred $7 trillion worth of debt. For that reason alone, any investigation wouldn't be worse. Probably would be a turn for the better for this nation. Look at what's happening internationally.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, nobody wants to touch it because it's just too hot a potato. And the Republicans' answer is to just vote out and get him out of there, get the House turned over. And I know that the impeachment papers have already been drawn up for several different things. And so I think we have to go to a break, Orly. Can you hang with us and we'll come back after the break?
All right.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And this is KCNR, 1460, home of the community radio for the North State.
Soon to be Sovereign Minds here in another 20-30 minutes.
Maybe now.
We've got Orly Tates with us. I got a couple questions that I want to go over before we lose you, Orly. Do you know anything about this British intelligence where they say they actually have a record in Kenya because it was a British province back in the day of the birth of Obama? Do you know anything about that?
There is nothing. This gentleman, his name is Shrimpton, I think Michael Shrimpton, he contacted me a year ago, and I said, well, please provide me any proof of what you are saying. And he did not provide one thing.
Really?
Not a stitch of evidence. So I do not believe that there is anything there, that there is anything legitimate. And actually, I was at one of British consulates in Europe, and I talked to the cultural attaché, and what she claimed that they left all the documents there, and that they have nothing. So
it seems like a lot of things. It seems like a lot of things are getting thrown out there, so that it can be discredited as well. I mean, the stuff that's important. I mean, you know, whether it's making fun or throwing claims that are, you know, unprovable out there, so it discredits the stuff that is provable.
The whole thing, exactly. That's what they're trying to do. For example, they're sending around a copy of a student card from Columbia University that says "foreign student," and from what I found out, this was bogus, because the number was traced to another person, and in 1981 they didn't even have student cards with barcodes, and it is done to discredit the whole issue. You know, they believe they can discredit one thing, they can discredit the whole issue, but now more people realize that this is all a hoax. By the way, I wanted to give you a compliment. I was just at a meeting with Ron Paul, and a lot of people knew who I was, and I was in Northern California, and apparently they listened to a program, because they said that they heard me on the program, on the radio.
Wow. that is a compliment. That really makes my day. I'll tell you what, I've been a big Ron Paul fan since I met him in 1988 down in Sunnyvale, and I have a signed copy from 88 of his book, Freedom Under Siege, and then I actually got him to sign it again last year when he was down at Davis for a rally for the presidency. So that really made my day. I appreciate that, Orly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was funny that the students were asking him questions, and one the first question was, well, Obama is saying that he created millions of jobs, but where are they? Where are those jobs? And the first thing that Ron Paul said, well, Obama is lying. What else is new under the sun?
Yeah, so what else is new? I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I read an article last week from the paper here that said that we've got all the jobs back that we started with from at the start of the recession. We're down to 6.5% unemployed, and it's ridiculous. And this is when the Federal Reserve was supposed to stop quantitative easing, and everything was supposed to be going in the right direction. And you look around you and you go, it's totally bogus. I mean, can anybody with any kind of seriousness and say that the economy is better?
No, absolutely not. You are looking at commercial real estate. It's in the dumpster. You are looking at the percentage of people who are in labor force, and it's the lowest in the past 35 years. We have about 91 million people who are 91 million adults who are not in labor force at all. And out of them, when you look at people who are working age, who not retirees, there are about 50 million, the highest number of people who are not in labor force. And the jobs that are being created are low wage, part-time, no benefits jobs. You're seeing college graduates working for minimum wage jobs. I've seen a study showing 250,000 college graduates working for minimum wage jobs.
I'm looking right now at a chart from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it's the civilian labor force participation rate. I had an article here that I'd pulled up that I was going to go over, and we are now descending almost straight down, and we're at the level of between 1963 and 1964, and continuing to descend to the lowest participation rate. You know, and we have to go all the way back to 1958 in order to get there, but we're headed that direction, and we've got a lot more people in the country now. And back then, you could actually have one guy working, you know, and the wife staying at home, or however they wanted to do it, because your salary would support the whole family with just one person working. So we're headed back to levels that are unprecedented.
Yes, it's terrible. So, you know, people are afraid, well, you know, if they're going to expose Obama, it's going to be a scandal. Well, the strange thing, any scandal will be better than what we have today in the White House.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's the truth. Hey, can you go ahead.
Looking at the military, and when you look at the military, that's another issue when we're seeing 200 top officers being purged from the military on bogus charges. And we're seeing people who are being recruited and promoted are people who are basically establishment people and have to follow the political correctness instead of doing what is necessary as top officers. We're seeing unilateral reduction in nuclear weapons, which is the opposite of what we should be doing, cut to Tomahawk missile programs.
Yep.
And this is just a Trojan horse, candidate destroying the nation.
This is right out of the
military.
This is right out of their playbook. You know, the old rules for radicals. I mean, you look at what's happened. I mean, you punish your enemies and you reward your friends. I mean, Sebelius, you know, she just resigned, but she's going to have a big fat salary. And you can go out through, you know, one guy after another that has been rewarded for their incompetence. So,
yeah. Well, and corruption and bribery is just unprecedented in the U.S. history. Look at the contract that was given to those two foreign companies to create the website for Obamacare. Some $700 million to two foreign companies who had terrible track records, who were sued by the government of Canada and Great Britain for not performing. And the only reason they got the contract were two reasons. One, they were donors for Obama and Democrats. And two, the daughter and son-in-law of Valerie Jarrett work for the company.
Absolutely.
So it's bribery.
Listen,
bribery.
While I got you on here, we got to go to a break here in a second and come back. But can you comment on what's going on with Zulo and all that investigation with Arpaio? Because we need to know.
This will be very fast.
Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to go to a break then.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go to a break, and we'll get the answer on the other side of this break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Did you ever think that we could be so close?
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio / We the People. Karev, we're you know, taking over the world. Anyway,
we're just trying to get the truth out there and educate the people to what the heck
be nice
is going on.
It'd be nice if journalism wasn't dead. I mean, I don't think there is any investigative journalism anymore. And the ones that are out there, I saw a report on the CBS gal the other day where she was investigating Fast and Furious and Benghazi. And she, if they get too good on the report, they just don't air the stories. Oh, we haven't got time. We haven't got this. So, you know,
they discredit them and they just go away.
The mainstream media is a lapdog. It's a whore. It's a prostitute. It's a whore to the administration at this point, because they will not report anything that they don't like in their narrative. So, and that kind of goes to that Common Core narrative that we talked about earlier. I mean, you know, we're being so screened out now.
Yeah.
With
let's
that,
get back to Orly and let's get the update on the. Sheriff Arpaio.
Well, there is absolutely nothing to update because they have never They never came up with any new information. Basically, 2 years ago, actually nearly 3 years ago, myself and a number of investigators provided a file with evidence, actually evidence that I have already submitted to multiple courts back in 2009. All they did is, before the election, when our fire ran for sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona, he used this evidence. Basically, they just confirmed it, and they used it to do press conferences as a massive fundraiser. He worked with a number of bloggers, Joe Zafira from WMD, Bertha Ford. There is another radio station, Carl Gallup's, and they raised millions of dollars. And but they did not come up with any new evidence. But what is even more troubling, that they have never submitted a criminal complaint to any authority, to any prosecutor. They just use this as a fundraising tool. I, for example, contacted the district attorney of Maricopa County, Arizona. Since Afaya claimed that they have a statement or affidavit from a forensic document expert stating that Obama's birth certificate is 100% forgery, and that's a forensic document expert from Hawaii. So this is something that he was supposed to submit to the district attorney before the election, and I submitted an official FOIA request for information, and I got a response where the representative of the district attorney said that, that this document was never provided to them. They don't have it.
Wow.
They never provided anything to the Attorney General of Arizona, to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Arizona, or to the Judiciary Committee or Oversight Committee of Congress. They just used this issue to raise money, and that's it.
So it's all about politics.
For 3 years.
So it's all about politics. Politics and money.
And not only that, I mean, they heard a number of cases because I had a very important witness, senior deportation officer John Sampson, who testified for me in Georgia. And I subpoenaed him, Arfire, and Zula, and other cases. One of them was a promising case in Indiana before the election. Not only they refused to comply with court-issued subpoenas, which is obstruction of justice in itself, but on a radio show, just like your radio show, I was on a radio show in Colorado with Peter Boyle, who got this John Sampson on the line as well. Since he lives in Colorado, and he admitted that they made a deal. He, Zulu, and Arpaio made a deal not to comply with the court-issued subpoenas and not to appear in court in Indiana. So three of them did not appear. As a matter of fact, what Arpaio did, he invited John Sampson to travel to Arizona. He paid for his airfare, and he deputized him as part of his cold case posse. And then he told him, well, now you're part of my cold case posse. You cannot testify for Attorney Ori Tate in any of her cases. So not only he didn't find any new evidence for 3 years and didn't submit any cases to court, he tampered with an important witness. That's obstruction of justice. It's conspiracy to obstruct justice. Those are very serious issues. And, you know, one day it will be reviewed. And for example, for months they were saying, well, universe-shattering evidence will be provided by Arpaio and Zulu in March. For the whole month of March, people were waiting. They went to this CPC Month Radio, Carl Gallup, waiting for information. They were checking on birthreport.com for information, and nothing came out. There was no evidence. So, I mean, and I guess some people just gullible, and they just, you know, continue listening. But this is just criminal, absolutely criminal. Moreover, there was a case against Arpaio that was going on. Actually, it was filed, I believe, during Bush administration and continued during Obama administration, where the U.S. attorneys claimed that Arpaio violated rights of Hispanics in his county by not prosecuting crimes against them. And so as this investigation was going on, and if it were to be proven, he himself could have faced jail time for this. This is a criminal offense. He started talking about Obama's birth certificate And sometime in August, before the election, the U.S. Attorney's Office suddenly announced that they will dismiss the case against Sapphire. They would not proceed with this case. And at the same time, Sapphire himself stopped doing those press conferences. And Zula continued talking, but Sapphire stopped doing press conferences. I cannot say for a fact that there was an agreement, but a lot of people suspect that there was some type of a quid pro quo where Obama did not prosecute Sapphire, and Sapphire never filed any official criminal complaint against Obama. And just in February, right before the scheduled universe shattering release of information, there was an article in a paper of Arizona that stated that FBI had sufficient evidence to prosecute Arpaio, and the U.S. attorneys decided not to prosecute them him then. And to me, it looked like a threat from Obama saying, listen, you're going to release anything in March as you promised. We're going to go after you. You know, they did not proceed with the case, but they did not dismiss it as prejudice. They just withdrew the charges, and they can refile them again. So basically, this, I believe it was a threat to our prior listen. FBI has this complaint against you. We have it. You open your mouth. We're going to go after you. So there was no press conference from Arpaio. And, you know, as I said, since August of 2012, when charges were dismissed against Arpaio, there were no press conferences by Arpaio. But also, he's never done anything. Just, you know, raised money, made some noise, got reelected, and interfered with cases.
Wow, so it's business as usual. I mean, anymore, we don't, you know, the rule of law is going under the bus, and, you know, we don't know who the heroes are, and the truth is telling us anymore, because you can't, you know, the media's lying. I mean, that's becoming so obvious, it's ridiculous. We did call Sunrise Tea Party at one point, and they were very angry at Arpaio.
Yes, they were.
And we were shocked. Yeah. We didn't know what to believe anymore.
Because he defrauded them. You know, 250 people have submitted this complaint, and they were seeking action because Arpaio promised there is a criminal case going on. And what's interesting, he didn't even conduct this case properly through proper channels within the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. It was handled through Zulu, who is the director of this private organization called Cold Case Posse. And it's 501c3. It's a non-profit. And, you know, they raised large amounts of money, but it didn't even go to the sheriff's department. It went to this, to Zulu's organization. And at the end, Arpaio didn't do anything. After demands to file a case, finally Arpaio said that he has no jurisdiction to file any case against Obama. So why did he raise millions of dollars for this case if he had no jurisdiction to begin with?
You know, what it is that these guys seem like they get something on anybody. I mean, it's reminiscent of when Obamacare was examined by the Supreme Court and they found that it was constitutional and it was a tax, you know, and looked like Justice Roberts was going to, you know, weigh in against it, and then all of a sudden he voted for it. And I mean, it seems like this administration just gets something on everybody. Maybe that's the NSA spying. I don't know.
Well, with Roberts, as you know, they couldn't have children. They adopted two children from Ireland, you know, those blonde white kids. And what's interesting, the official adoption papers showed that the kids were adopted from South America. So there were questions, how did they find those blonde, blue-eyed kids in South America? Then they found out that the kids were actually from Ireland. And Ireland has very strict laws against foreign adoption. So what they did, they went around Irish adoption laws by flying the mothers of those babies with the babies to South America and doing adoption there. So It just sounds very ethical, so there were questions about it. So clearly, there is a high probability they have something on Robert. But not only that, just yesterday I was watching this interview by Sybil Edmonds, and she's the FBI whistleblower, and she was stating that FBI does background checks on each and every candidate to be appointed as a federal judge, and that typically the ones that are being chosen are the ones that have something, that they are, there is something in their history, maybe some sexual problems and indiscretion, financial taxes, that they have something on them. Those are the ones that typically get appointed. And, she's speaking out about this openly, and it's a serious problem.
Wow. Well, listen, we're going to go to a break, and then we got another 15 minutes with you, Orly.
I will be going, I'll be going towards the plane. I'll still hear you, close at the terminal. But, before I go, as you know, I am running for Attorney General.
Very good.
People can go on my campaign website. It's runorlyrun.com. RUNORLYREN.com, and if they want information and readings from the cases, they can go on my foundation website, which is OrlyCaseESQ.com. ORLY, C as in Tom, AI, C as in Tom, GESQ.com.
Very good. Yeah, thanks, Orly.
You're going for a break now?
Yeah,
we're going to have to go to a break.
Okay.
Just in case we do lose you, we want to thank you so much for coming on today and discussing all these matters with us. And
My pleasure.
Okay, so we'll go to the break now. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR.
/We the People. Yeah, what a morning, you know. We're not used to having 3 hours. We still got another hour to go, but we've got Orly on the line, I think. Are you still there, Orly?
Oh, Yes.
Yes, we've got Billy Bob on the line as well. And Billy Bob, I think, wants to make a compliment or a comment to Orly here. Are you there, Billy?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Very good.
Great show, Kent and Linda. You guys do amazing work. Listen, just a quick moment to thank Orly for all her hard work and dedication. Her energy, she's going to be a George Washington of our second founding of this nation. And I just wanted to give you some energy and some heads up, and I appreciate everything you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Very good. Thanks,
Thank you,
Billy.
Very much.
All
right.
Yeah,
there absolutely. You. I really appreciate this.
Very good. Yeah, we are in the middle of the second American Revolution here, where anybody wants to believe it or not. I mean, just because they won't, Rachel Maddow won't talk about anything but a plane that was ditched in the south of the Indian Ocean. I mean, there's big things that are happening all over. I mean, the Nevada thing and everything. And it's just amazing. We were just talking about it on the break, the depth of what's going on, the depth of the lies, the depth of the corruption, the depth of how big our government has gotten and out of control. I mean, you would have never thought about this when we were kids. It's unbelievable.
Well, just in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, what happened in Nevada yesterday shows us that people can make a difference where, what 1,000 people were able to, make, Bureau of Land Management back away from, taking over the land of the rancher from rounding his cattle. And just recently, and not only there is an issue, of course, with Harry Reid and his son Rory, where, Rory approved, as a commissioner, sale of thousands of acres of land for about a 30% of its value to a large Chinese company. But today in the morning before the flight, I was looking at another issue. When you go on the website of BLM, you will find out that instead of protecting wildlife, they have there an article asking for opinions how to diminish the herds of wild horses. Why is this agency trying to diminish the herds of wild horses? At the same time, they're promoting those solar plants. And I'm afraid that we'll have another Solyndra on our hands. What's interesting that this company, First Solar, that is co-owned by John Walton of Walmart, one of the owners of Walmart, a multi-billionaire, is getting land from BLM to build a solar plant. And I'm yet to find out how much did he pay per acre. Did he pay the market value for this land? I highly doubt it.
Well, my understanding, too, is isn't Harry Reid in the mix here someplace along with his son on the deal?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like mafia. One of his sons is a lobbyist. It's just like Biden. You know, Biden's son is a lobbyist. He was basically going to people telling, you want my dad to do you a favor? Hey, and he made millions of dollars this way. And one of Reed's sons is a lobbyist. Another son, Rory, was placed as a commissioner in Clark County, Nevada, which is pretty much like Cook County, Illinois. There was this approval, which made no sense. They were willing to take cents on a dollar for this land. But what's interesting, the land, they were selling it as a county land. On the other hand, they said the thing is federal land. But not only that, if you remember with Solyndra, the Department of Energy was giving and still giving grants and a low interest loan for those solar companies. And if you recall with Solyndra, what they did, they rewritten those loans where the federal government became the main guarantor. Basically, they were paying off the other investors before the federal government. So basically, the federal government was left holding the bag and losing $500 million with Solyndra.
Yeah.
And there is a high probability the same thing is being done in Nevada and California with those solar companies. Moreover, not too many people know that there is a deal, and I remember it was approved sometimes in 2009, where you can donate land for nature preserves, and they have a program 2-to-1. For example, somebody can buy for peanuts land in Nevada from where land was, where there is nothing, desert, and donate it to BLM. On the other hand, BLM, for every 2 acres of donated land, they can release an acre. And imagine, they can release an acre of land somewhere in Southern California by the ocean where the land is worth its weight in gold. And this way, those people can make millions, if not billions of dollars. And this is just legalized corruption, legalized theft.
Yeah, it sounds, I was going to say it sounds a lot like there's Agenda 21 mixed in the middle of that as well, and some cronyism to, you know, pay off their friends for everything. I just wanted to say before we lose you here too that the you know, a lot of people think this backing off of the BLM is a ruse, that they're just going to come back even harder here as soon as the smoke clears a little bit, and you know, we need to be careful out there that this is not
over. Yeah, this is not the end. This is just basically they were trying to diffuse the situation, deflect the attention, and they will go after Clarice Bundy, and they will go after others. But what we're seeing is a massive theft. Do you know how much? Something like I believe 70%. If not 80% of land in Western states is owned by the federal government.
Right.
And imagine if they're playing this game on a large scale, we're talking billions of dollars that are basically taken away from the government and go into the hands of a bunch of billionaires.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're seeing amnesty being pushed. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, you're going to be laughing. I was invited to speak as a candidate for possible endorsement by the CFL CIO, which is labor unions. And I knew that they always endorse Democrats. There is no chance. But I figured I'm going to go and just give them some of my thoughts. It's easy to sing to the choir, but it's hard to go and talk to people who have opposite views. So when I provided them all my information, they asked me, well, what do you think about this immigration reform? There is growing consensus. And I said, well, growing consensus among whom? A few billionaires were pushing for it. One of the gentlemen tells me, well, you know, you're an immigrant. You got your pass to citizenship. Don't you think that others should get a pass to citizenship? I said, I did it legally. We're talking about millions of people who here illegally. Don't you think that? Do you think it's going to improve the issue? Giving this amnesty, do you think it will make it worse? It's going to be a nightmare for more and more illegals that are taking jobs and lowering wages and taking benefits. It's a disaster for your own members. And this guy looks at me and he tells me, well, you know what's going to happen if we give all of them amnesty? We'll have a more colorful society and we'll all be very happy. I mean, I was thinking to myself, is he completely out of his mind or just partially? So I'm telling him, okay, well, if you feel that makes us a better society and more colorful, why do we even have borders? Let's just do away with all American borders. There are 7 billion people on the face of this planet. Let's bring all of them to America, and it's going to be a very colorful society. We'll be broke within 5 days, but we'll be colorful.
Yeah, we'll look like Bangladesh or someplace. Yep. Listen,
well, they're going to cut us off here.
Hey, be safe out there, Orly. We appreciate you coming in, but we got to go do a hard break here.
All right, this is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
There's a job to be done. Let's roll.